Geisha, Adventures in the Queer East, written by Benjamin Law and read by Benjamin Law.
Author's note. This is a work of non-fiction. For brevity or clarity, the chronologies of some incidents have been condensed or altered. Some names have been changed to protect the identities of people or organizations. The meaning and usage of the terms transgender and transsexual vary between countries, communities, and individuals. In this book, transgender refers to people who express their gender in non-conforming ways through behavior, dress, and appearance. Transsexual refers to people who have undertaken hormonal and/or surgical procedures to physically affirm the sex with which they identify. The choice between the names Myanmar and Burma and the names of the country's former capital, Yangon and Rangoon, respectively, is subject to debate and often contested. Usage varies among countries and even among news organizations within the same country. In the United States, the New York Times and Reuters use Myanmar, the Washington Post and Time magazine use Burma. I've used Myanmar for several reasons, including the burgeoning democratic reforms that took place shortly after I left the country, and the fact that every local person I spoke to called their country Myanmar. Introduction. Of all the continents, Asia is the gayest. Deep down, you've probably had your suspicions all along, and I'm here to tell you those suspicions are correct. Let's do the maths. Of the world's 10 most populous countries, 6 of them, 7 if you count Russia, are in Asia. China, India, Indonesia, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Japan. Across the continent are close to 4 billion people, making Asia home to the majority of the world's people. So doesn't it stand to reason that most of the world's queer people, lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgender, and transsexual folk, live in Asia too, sharing one hot, sweaty landmass and filling it with breathtaking examples of exotic faggotry? I would think so. Perhaps I'm biased. You tend to reach more massive generalizations after spending nearly a year skipping between nearly 7 Asian countries, sitting backstage with Bangkok ladyboys prepping themselves for beauty pageants, chatting to Tokyo celebrity drag queens, marching in the heat with Mumbai's fierce queer rights activists, listening to the testimonies of Malacca preachers who claim they can heal homosexuality, and hanging out with Bali's money boys and the old foreigners who hire them. But in 2009, Time magazine ran a major story, Why Asia's Gays Are Starting to Win Acceptance. It was an interesting piece about globalization and a region in flux, one exploding economically but still wedded to strict religious and cultural traditions when it came to sex and marriage. The story started in Nepal and moved through developments in China, Japan, and India, and argued that when it came to gay rights, momentum was building. If nothing else, people aren't denying the existence of homosexuality anymore, said one commentator. The Asian social institutions and beliefs that often stood in the way of tolerance, religious conservatism, intense emphasis on marriage and having children, cultural taboos against openly discussing sexuality, are weakening. Was that true? Eventually I would discover nothing is ever so straightforward, especially in Asia. Some countries embraced their transsexual people but didn't care for lesbians. Other countries didn't hate homosexuals as such, they just didn't really get them. Some celebrated transsexuals, but denied them basic rights. Others didn't mind if you were a gay man, just as long as you married a woman. I might have been Australian, but I was ethnically Asian too. For me, it was time to go back to my homelands, to reach out to my fellow Gaysians, the home Malaysians, Bimes, Lausbians, and Shang Dykes. I would journey through their cities by foot, plane, cross-country train, bus, rickshaw, trishaw, tuk-tuk, taxi, motorcycle, scooter, and a utility truck that was originally designed to carry livestock. I would experience the deathly cold of Haridwar, get drenched in Bangkok's downpours, and feel my face melting off in a Beijing heat wave. I would contract heat rash, whooping cough, and dehydration from Indian food poisoning so intense that by the end of it, I saw the eye of God. From what I remember, it was brown.